Greetings in the name of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This devotional is titled, The Messiah and the Kingdom Go Together. The Messianic Kingdom is not here yet for the simple reason the Messiah is not here. He came, presented the kingdom, and was rejected. So the kingdom program was put on hold. In Genesis 1, 26-28, we see that God made mankind in his own image and gave him dominion over the world. From the very beginning, we see that God intended through a theocracy to have mankind govern the world for him. But Satan got in the mix, and by leading humanity into sin, he brought mankind under his dominion. In this way, he usurped the right to rule away from mankind. In seeking to tempt Jesus Christ, Luke 4, 5 and 6 records this. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "All this authority I will give you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whomever I wish." Jesus did not refute the devil's assertion that this authority over the realm of the world had been delivered to him. Satan is the god of this age, whom Jesus called the ruler of this world. God is still sovereign over all, but in the fall of mankind, Satan was allowed to usurp the title deed of the earth away from mankind. In a limited sense, Satan is now the ruler of the world, and in that position holds sway over the whole of lost mankind. However, God's intention that mankind rule for him has never been revoked. Psalm 8, 4-8, building on Genesis 1, 26-28 mandate, shows that God's plan that man rule for him is still ultimately in place. Psalm 8, 6 says of man, quote, "You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet." This is God's intention for mankind. God made man to rule the world for him. This dominion mandate is then picked up in the New Testament and finds ultimate fulfillment in the man, that is, in the God-man, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. He, as a second Adam, brings to fulfillment God's ruling intention for mankind, whereas the first Adam, failed. In Revelation 5, John wept much because no one was found worthy to open the scroll and loose its seals. The scroll represents the title deed of the earth and the right to take it back and rule for mankind. This is what Jesus does in the course of events in the book of Revelation. John in Revelation 5 was then comforted with the truth that the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and loose its seven seals. Revelation 5:5. Jesus, the ultimate representative of mankind, prevails for mankind. The original kingdom mandate is to be restored in Jesus. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, 25-28, and then in Ephesians 1:22, builds on the truth of Psalm 8:6, showing that it finds ultimate fulfillment in the person of Christ. Hebrews 2:5-9 also shows that the dominion mandate given to mankind must be fulfilled and is still in place. But that, quote, "Now we do not yet see all things put under him," that is, under mankind, Hebrews 2:8. But the writer then goes on to say, excuse me, "But we see Jesus," Hebrews 2:9. We see that Jesus ultimately prevails in fulfilling the dominion mandate given to mankind. These New Testament passages show that the original dominion mandate given to mankind in Genesis 1, 26-28, and reiterated in Psalm 8, 6, will yet be fulfilled in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, the last Adam, will succeed, whereas the first Adam failed. The coming millennial kingdom will highlight the successful reign of the last Adam, as Jesus will reign supreme with his people sharing in that reign. The reality of this coming special representative of mankind, the Messiah, who comes to bring in the kingdom and thus fulfilling the ruling mandate given to mankind, is sprinkled throughout the Old Testament scriptures. Genesis 49, Numbers 24, Psalm 2, Psalm 72, Isaiah 2, Isaiah 9, 11, 65, Daniel 2, Zechariah 14, etc. This special coming one who brings in the kingdom would be of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Judah, and of the line of David. The theme of the Messiah and the kingdom are prophetically linked together. This is an important kingdom marker. No Messiah, no kingdom. The kingdom is dependent upon the Messiah. It is the Messiah who brings the kingdom and no one else. When God entered into a covenant relationship with Israel in the Old Testament, his intention was that it be an arrangement of a theocracy. A theocracy is a system of rule in which God governs the nation, but he does it through priests or spiritual leaders. The Jews, in effect, rejected this system as they demanded a king like all the other nations. We read in 1 Samuel 8, 6 and 7, "But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, 'Give us a king to judge us.' So Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, 'Heed the voice of the people and all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them.'" During the times of the kings that followed, God raised up prophets to call his people Israel to repentance, and in that context, God called a man named David to be king of Israel. David was a man after God's own heart, and God made a special covenant promise to him that it would be his seed that would reign forever. This is known as the Davidic covenant. The right to rule belongs to David and his ancestry. 2 Samuel 7:16, "And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever." Thus, in the Old Testament, a promised kingdom is shown to be coming, and a special promised Messiah from the line of David would come as king to usher it in. And he would come through the kingly line of David. Luke 1, 31 through 33, "And behold, you will conceive," Mary is told, "you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." All the way through the scriptures, the dominant kingdom emphasis looks forward to the time when the Messiah will reign and fulfill God's kingdom purposes on earth in relation to Israel. The kingdom and the Messiah are always linked. Genesis 49:10, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people." The scepter is a symbol of royal power. Government and rulership belongs to the tribe of Judah. From David on, the recognized leadership role on the throne over Israel belonged to Judah, and specifically to the line of David. The turning point is seen in the phrase, "until Shiloh comes." There is general consensus that this is a messianic reference. It has been variously translated, but suffice it to say that many scholars think that the word Shiloh means "to whom it belongs." Compare Ezekiel 21:27. The sense then is that the scepter, the right to rule, belongs to the tribe of Judah. It will remain there until the one comes to whom it ultimately belongs, namely the Lord Jesus Christ. After the fall of Judah in 586 BC, a king has never been seated on David's throne in Jerusalem. The next Davidic king to come was Jesus. He presented himself to Israel as her legitimate king, but they rejected him. Therefore, there will be no king on the throne in Jerusalem until the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus comes at his second coming, then the kingdom will come, not before. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and they will call his name Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David, and over his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Lord, we thank you for the truth of the coming kingdom. And Lord, you taught us to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." And so, Lord, we are looking forward to that messianic kingdom. It's woven throughout the scriptures. It's the climactic time in terms of redemptive history when Jesus will come as the promised Messiah, the promised King, and he will rule. And so, Lord, we do pray for your kingdom to come. We anticipate it. We look forward to the coming kingdom. What a glorious day that's going to be. In the meantime, we have work to do. Right now, we are on a soul-winning mission. Lord, it's you that does the work, but you use us in the process. Lord, help us to be faithful as we anticipate the coming kingdom and to live in light of that, to be kingdom builders seeking the kingdom first in the sense that we are soul winners, which is really our job, our emphasis right at this point in history here in the church age. So, Lord, again, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who has been given the throne. It's just a matter of time till he takes that throne in Jerusalem. David's throne occupies and rules the entire world forever. And Lord, we thank you for this wonderful truth in the scriptures. And I pray in Christ's name, amen.